Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And again, what a blessing it is to be back in church. And this is our place of refuge. And we just thank the Lord for it. And glad that she was able to make it back tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Chronicles in chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. We're going to be reading just two verses here tonight. And that's verse 9 and verse 10. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, as the book of 1 Chronicles is giving some genealogies and following all that. Sometimes when you're reading the Bible, you just kind of skip through all the genealogies, you know, just kind of highlight the different ones. If you do that, you would have missed out on this gem that is found in the midst of the genealogies. And so if you'll stand with me, we're going to read this, the prayer of Jabez, the prayer of Jabez, 1 Chronicles chapter 4. The Bible says, and now we're in the midst of all the different genealogies, and then all of a sudden it says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, thank you for your church. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunities to make available to us to assemble ourselves together. And God, there's no doubt in my mind that you're here in the midst with us. Thank you for meeting with us this morning and a great service. But God, we're a needy people, and we need to meet with you once again tonight. And I just pray, God, as we've opened up your holy word and we study it, that you would give us all the insight that we have need of. Help us to learn what you have for us to learn this evening. Empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. On Sunday evenings, we've been going through and studying the divisions of the Bible. And in studying the divisions of the Bible, we're looking at each one of the books of the Bible to help understand why it's there. And if you know why it's there, then when you read it, you're going to get more out of it. And we looked at the first division would be the first five books of the Old Testament, which is known as the Pentateuch or the Laws of Moses, and tremendous. As you study that, we looked at every one of those books and why it's there in that first division. The second division of the books of the Bible is called the historic books of the Bible, the historical books of the Bible. There's 12 books giving us the timeline of Israel's history. As we look at these historical books, it's going to carry on the timeline of Israel's history. And it's very important that we understand Israel's history because Israel is God's chosen people in the Old Testament. And he has recorded everything that he wants us to learn in the Old Testament about that nation that God called out to represent him to the world. And there's much there to learn because as we learn these principles and we study that, then it prepares us for the fulfillment of the Old Testament, which is the New Testament and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that that divisions of the Bible reveals more about the plan of God. And it's always been his plan. Old Testament was to prepare us for this New Testament church age. And we'll find that in the timeline as we study each book of the Bible and we divide it down. But this particular division is so we might understand what God wants us to understand about the historical events of the nation of Israel. Now, the two books of Chronicles we're going to put together because now we've studied every individual book up to this point. We studied 2 Kings last Sunday night, and they advanced the history of Israel. The two books of 1 and 2 Chronicles do not advance the history of Israel. And so when you're reading these, you're going to find that these two books give more detail into the very same timeline as you find in 1 and 2 Kings. So when you're reading this, but there's a purpose for God having not only the 1st and 2nd Kings, but 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Because in the 1st and 2nd Chronicles, you're going to find a fuller account, mainly of Judah. And as you study that, you're going to find some other things that are not written in the books of the Kings. And tonight we're just going to just highlight two things. The highlight of 1 Chronicles, I believe, it is this prayer of Jabez. You won't find this in the book of 1 and 2 Kings. But this is something that God wanted us to learn. And I think he put it right in the middle of the genealogies so that we don't just start getting bored with reading the Word of God. And we make sure that we are getting, even from the genealogies, something out of what God has recorded for us to learn. So the prayer of Jabez here in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9 and 10, I love this because the first thing we find in his prayer, and he was born into sorrow. He could have had a miserable life. I believe that he would have had a miserable life if he had not called upon the God of Israel. He's recorded in the genealogies, and he said that his name was Jabez because his mother bare him in sorrow. And then the Bible says, and Jabez, this boy that was born in sorrows, didn't have much hope, but the one thing that he did changed everything. It got him in the record in the Bible. And Jabez called on the God of Israel. He did the most important thing that anyone can ever do. He's done the most important thing that any man born of woman from the very beginning of mankind and all the way through to the rapture of the church, the most important thing that any man could ever do, that is to acknowledge the God of creation and call on the God of Israel. Now, that's just not saying you need to be religious. There's a different kind of religious philosophy on every corner. You'll find every kind of denomination that you can think of. And sometimes the churches are started because they're wanting to give the people what they want. And I guarantee you, whatever you want to find in religion, you can find a church that will give you whatever you want. Let you hear what you want to hear. Do what you want to do. But that's not God. It's important that we understand if there is a God, and we know that there is, then he would want us to know who he is. And that's why he has preserved his word, the Bible, so that we might know an almighty creator God. And everything that he has written down and preserved for us, that we might know the very mind of God. Old Testament all the way through New Testament scriptures. He's the God of the Bible. He's the only true God. Christianity is the only true, if you will, religion, because it's based upon the very words of God. John chapter 4, we find in the New Testament, John was inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this gospel of John and giving us account of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus reveals something in John chapter 4 that we need to learn. John chapter 4, concerning calling upon the true God. Religion, not going to get anybody to heaven. The only way that you're going to get to heaven is you call upon the true God. And you receive his only begotten Son as your personal Lord and Savior. In John chapter 4 and verse 22, the Bible says this, as Jesus was addressing the woman at the well, and he says, you worship, you know not what. You're just following religion. You're following a man's philosophy of who God is. You know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers. Now underline that, true worshipers, because if Jesus acknowledged the fact that there are true worshipers, then you have to realize there are false worshipers. It's sad to say that too many are not worshiping the God of creation. They are false worshipers. Now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Do you understand that God created humanity? The reason He created humanity in His likeness, in His image. We were created in the likeness of the Trinity of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we were created for His pleasure. He created us with a free will so we would willingly choose to worship an almighty creator God. He did not create us as robotics. He could have created us to where we didn't have a choice and we just looked to Him and bowed down to Him and worshiped Him. That's not what He wanted. He wanted humanity. The most important part of all creation was humanity. Everything else around us, this world and everything about this world was created for to inhabit mankind. And it was good. God created it good. It was Satan and sin that corrupted, as we even looked at a little bit this morning. But the idea that God created everything for humanity, the crown of creation was mankind. And we were the only ones created in the image of God. We have an eternal soul. And we fell to sin, and that sin has passed upon all men because Adam sinned, and it's corrupted humanity. God loved us enough to send His only begotten Son to die on Calvary's cross so that we would have an opportunity to choose Him and to be reconciled to God so we can have the very same fellowship that God wanted us to have in the very beginning. And to worship Him as God wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. But you have to call upon the God of Israel. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must. If you're going to have genuine worship, then you must worship Him in spirit and in truth, and not humanism, but the truth of God. The truths that He has written down and recorded for us so that we might know exactly how God would have us to worship Him. So we would know exactly how God would have us to live. So we would know exactly what God says about sin and about salvation and eternal life. Yeah. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. The most important thing that anyone can ever do, because that's going to make the difference between heaven and hell. Eternity with God or eternity void of the presence of God. So we find Jabez. The first thing about Jabez, he called on the God of Israel. And then he tells us what he prayed. He first of all prayed knowing who God was, knowing who he was calling upon. And what he does, he asked God to bless him. He said, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." The only ones who would not want this are fools. The Bible said it's a fool that says in his heart, "There is no God." And when you truly understand who God is, you would be a fool not to want His blessings. And the Bible says all you have to do is ask. And Jesus continued to give His lessons on prayer. And the thing that was most important about prayer is acknowledging who God is and looking to God and just asking. And many times we have not because we ask not. We will not humble ourselves to look to an almighty God and beg for mercy. We will not humble ourselves to look to an almighty God and to share our deepest thoughts and our deepest needs. And yet God already knows them. Whether you realize that or not, God knows us better than we know ourselves. And the thing that when you acknowledge God, we all ought to desire His blessings upon my life, our lives. And maybe that's the problem here, that we're not looking to God and our prayer is not, "God, bless me." We ought to pray for others, and we should. When you have the blessings of God, then you're more apt to be a blessing to others. We need the blessings of God upon our lives. Are we asking to bless me indeed? I acknowledge you as for who you are. Every day in my prayers, I acknowledge God as the great I am, creator of all things. But then I personalize and I say, my Heavenly Father. And I acknowledge you as God, the Son, the Savior of the world, my Lord. And I acknowledge you as God the Holy Spirit, He that dwells within me, my Comforter. Amen. I acknowledge Him because that's who He is. And then I pray, bless me indeed. Are we asking God to bless us indeed? Maybe the reason we're not asking God that is because we don't feel like we can. Is that sin really worth? Is that lifestyle really worth giving up prayer and a relationship with a Creator God? I think not. Yeah. Next, we find that he asked him to do something. He said, bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. To expand my world. Sometimes we just think that the only thing about this world is our own family, our own neighborhood, our own church. And yet we find that God has commissioned us to go into all the world. And when you're looking to God and you understand God's commission, it will expand your world. Yeah. To expand my vision, to expand my opportunities. That's what Jabez was praying. Enlarge my coast. The things that we all have. God has the whole world and eternity in view all the time. God never does anything for one of us that he does not know how it will impact people around the world. And sometimes from a church like this or a small little church anywhere, God calls someone, someone comes and says, God, enlarge my coast. And God calls them to the mission field. And immediately, the world changes. The ministry has afforded me much. My goodness, I can't ever thank God enough for calling me to the ministry because it has enlarged my world. I've had opportunities to be in Russia for a couple weeks, seen souls saved in Russia. I actually was able to lead. I got fruit that I personally led to Christ in Russia. Amen. I've got fruit that I personally led to Christ in the Philippines, yes. In Bolivia, in Mexico. Just by understanding that God says we're to go into all the world, and I've had opportunity as a pastor to go to different places around the world that I would never have opportunity to go before. I would never have reason or purpose to go before. But God has enlarged my coast. He's given me a world vision and opportunities. But you know what? God can enlarge your coast. There's more to this world than just your life and you. How selfish to just look around to see what everyone else can do for me. When God says, what I've already done for you is something that the whole world needs. Yeah. Enlarge my coast. Do you want your coast enlarged? Do you want to do more for Christ? Pray for it. You give to Faith Promise Missions, you have a part in every one of our 70-some missionaries that we support. And you can read their mission letters and you can read about how souls are being saved and churches just like this are being established all around the world. And you can say, God, you've enlarged my coast. Amen. Simply by being able to support the outreach of the church that God has commissioned us to do. We find this prayer. in the book of 1 Chronicles. And then he asked that thy hand might be with me. Every day I need God's strength. If I'm going to be the man that God wants me to be, I need God's help. Without God's help, this sinful nature would take over. And it would hinder me from being all that God wants me to be. And I cannot deal with Satan. I cannot even deal with this sinful nature without the new nature. Without the help of God. Amen. And I ask God, I need your guidance. Lead, guide, and direct me throughout this day. Reveal to me things that you have for me to do. Help me to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, that thou hand might be with me. And then the last thing he says, keep me from evil. Keep me from evil. The Lord's model prayer, this was not his actual prayer, it's how he told us to pray. In Matthew chapter 6, and we'll not go there for sake of time, but verses 9 through 13, in that prayer, as we address the Heavenly Father, he has us a model prayer that we ought to ask for, and that is ask God to deliver us from evil. Lead me not into temptation. God, help me to stay away from temptations. I should never put myself in a place of temptation where I will do things that I shouldn't do. Stay away from the temptation of that. And deliver me from evil. Deliver me from Satan. Deliver me from anything that would take away my walk with you, that would hinder my walk with you. Yeah. Wow. Jabez, the prayer of Jabez, powerful, powerful passage of scripture found in the book of 1 Chronicles that really doesn't advance the history, but it reveals, and it reveals much more as you study that, in detail of the kings. Second Chronicles. This is going to be very brief here, but 2 Chronicles, we find something that is not found in the kings. But God has it here for us. As God addresses Solomon in a time that Solomon needed to be addressed, and I wish he would have held on to this, what God's people needed to know is exactly the same thing that we need to know. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Now the only reason that God would do that is judgment. Israel turning away from God, and God would judge them. God would deal with them harshly. But he says, if that's happening in your life, if my people, which are called by my name, there again, not just religion, but those that are looking to the God of Israel, those that are looking to the true God, and you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto thy prayer, the prayer that is made in this place. What God's people needed to know was how to repent. If they would have known how to repent, if they would have had a heart of repentance, then God would not have taken them into captivity. By the end of the book of the historical books of 1 and 2 Kings, God has taken Judah now. He had taken Israel, the 10 northern tribes, into captivity because they didn't have one godly king. Because Judah had a couple godly kings that stood on their throne and said, thus saith the Lord, and led the nation of Judah, the two southern tribes, then God gave them more time. But eventually, even the tribes of Judah turned back to the world and turned to sin, and God judged their sin, and they did not repent, and God took them into captivity. That's the same God that we have today. If you're not receiving the blessings of God, then you're receiving the judgment of God. And it's not because God would rather judge you than bless you. It's because you have sin in your life that's unconfessed. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God's people need to learn how to repent. We're not going to be perfect in this physical world. We're not going to be perfect with this sin nature. We're going to make mistakes and we're going to fall. We're going to fail. What's more important is knowing how to repent. When you see yourself with the judgment of God upon your hand, when you see yourself a sinner sinning against God, you have to know how to repent. Humble yourself before an almighty God. Confess and forsake that sin and ask for forgiveness. And He'll be faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. What a great passage found in the book of 2 Chronicles. It's not in the Kings. But it's there for our learning and our admonition, because the very same principles that God gave to the Old Testament children of God are the very same truths that He gives to New Testament Christianity. Do you know how to repent? Is there a need of repentance? Are you praying to the God of Israel and you asking for the right thing? If not, no better time than tonight to get that settled in your life. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Wow. Just two little golden nuggets out of each one of those books that do not further the history, but they give us something that the other books did not give us. And powerful truths from the very words of God. Where are you at? Whatever is keeping you from walking with God, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Do not be blinded to that. Turn away from it. When you turn away from sin, you turn to God, then you have just a little taste of what we can ask for through the prayer of Jabez. And when you ask, knowing that God wants to give it, what a blessing it is to have answered prayer. Father, we bow before You. We love You and thank You for the truths of Your word. And I pray tonight, God, as we just briefly touched on these things, I pray that You would use it now in the lives of all that are here and decisions that need to be made. I pray they'd be made right now. For this we ask in Jesus' name.